This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Of Take Three Outreach, an organization addressing youth and domestic violence in the African American community. At 11:30 on the Radio Zine, Robin Shanti interviews Michael O'Connor of Creative Collaborations about Hump Day, a monthly art and music festival held in Portland's Central East Side Industrial District. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a KBOO member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today. Stay tuned for It Takes a Village.
Wednesdays in Portland are a little more festive these days, thanks to Creative Collaborations and Hump Day PDX. Hump Day PDX is a street festival in Southeast Portland featuring the live music and art exhibits of creative entrepreneurs who are living on the streets. There are also family activities to enjoy, food, and a beer garden, all organized by Creative Collaborations in support of struggling artists and in an effort to stimulate the local neighborhood economy as well. Hump Day PDX is June 12th from 6 to 10 p.m. and every second Wednesday of the month thereafter at Southeast 9th and Belmont in Portland. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Well, it's the first Friday of the month, the time for It Takes a Village. I'm Shahid Hamid, your host for this edition, and with me today is Mr. Michael Johnson, the head of the Take Three organization that is looking forward to address youth violence and domestic violence. So we'll be coming back in just a moment and talking with Mr. Michael Johnson about these issues and his approach to these issues in just a moment. To the KBOO microphones, and certainly glad to have you here today to talk about this very, very important subject. Welcome.
Thank you. And it's a great opportunity to be here with you, and I'm so honored to be asked by you to be on your show. I've listened to your show, and I guess when they say you pray and prayers come through, that one day be down here on KBOO, and you happen to be the man to invite me down here, I just give all praises to God, mm-hmm. and just thankful that He uses you and that you are a man of the community who listens to God and reaches out to young brothers such as myself and others to address issues in our community. As I listen to it, says take a village to raise a village and so forth. I have a lot for the community, our village, and I just look forward to addressing some of that.
Well, the privilege is all mine, particularly listening to you on cable access television, and I was greatly impressed with some of your ideas and the way you are looking at the situation that we find ourselves in here in Portland and nationally. I was very, very impressed. And tell us a little bit about Take Three organization and what you're trying to do.
Well, Take Three organization is an organization that I came up with maybe about 5.5 years ago. I was a young brother out in the community who was seeking for direction. I was unemployed, had kids, and a fiance, and was just searching for a direction to go to be able to provide for myself and my family. And having a background from coming out of prison, I seeked out different resources to get that help. And what happened was is that when I approached some of those resources, I didn't look the part that I was experiencing. I wasn't, you know, down and out, looking down and out. I've always dressed appropriately, and I walked with my head up and my back straight. And so when I got in there, they would say, oh, well, we'll see what we can do. But they never really took me serious. And so I had a lot of doors closed, and, you know, I was hanging with gang members, and those gang members would talk about what they wanted to do with their money when they got the money. And then, you know, I had an entrepreneur, a little bit of a background, and so I would say, only thing we're missing is the money. But then they'll spend the money and then come back, and with the woolsey, I should have done, or I could have done, or I wish we would have done. And I just got tired of that. And I got tired of brothers with nice suits on and shiny shoes saying that, you know, come be part of my program. But then I give them my ideas, and they take it and use it for themselves, and I'm still left out in the same position I was, and maybe even worse, because now I've been not only mentally cut, but spiritually cut. Mm-hmm. And so I just got on my hands and knees and really started praying. Mm-hmm. And out of that, Take Three was formed. And the funny thing about it was that when I actually God opened my ears up to him, because it wasn't me opening my ears up to him, it was him opening the ears up, my ears up to him. And so I had an idea, and I didn't know how to put it on paper. And so I prayed about him bringing me a brother or someone, anyone, to help me write, because when I write with the ghetto mentality, and so I needed to make sense to our educated folks. And so he brought me a brother who was in the choir, and I happened to walk by and say, hey, can you help me sing? Because I wanted to praise God too. And so I wanted to praise God by singing. And he was kind of shocked that I asked him, because he wasn't a great singer. But I liked the confidence that he was up there singing in front of a crowd, even though he wasn't a great singer. And out of that, we formed a relationship. And then we prayed together and studied together the word. And out of that, we were connected. So anything that I had on my mind, he was able to transform it into the correct writing. And so Take Three transform into what I read out of the Bible. Actually, I took everything out of the Bible, and he says that, you know, we should help one another, and we should lift up one another, and we should be able to provide for one another as a community, as he's gifted us, and each one of us has our own gifts. So I said, okay, well, let me start utilizing those gifts. Mm-hmm. And so Take Three stands for, in two different forms, it stands for me, you, and whoever else. You know, if we stand together, we can achieve together. On the, in the worldly side, and the spiritual side, was it was God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And mm-hmm. so for me, you know, I had to trust that. I read the Quran. I loved the Quran and what I read in it. I read the King James Bible. I got a clear understanding. And then I read the Jehovah's Witness book, and I got an understanding. But what I was really looking at was I was looking at the power of what the Quran was saying and the power of what the New Testament was saying in the book. And so out of that, I started to achieve, not even achieve, but I started to see the light. Mm-hmm. And I started to see the understanding. And so when I started studying both books, I knew how to communicate what I wanted. And so Take Three was transformed to go out and help folks, because I couldn't get help, and I know there was a lot of other people out there that needed help. Mm-hmm. And so when I wrote the business plan and the program and submitted it to the government told me, well, we've never seen anything like this. Mm-hmm. And they had 9 questions for me, and I only answered 4 of them.
Did it primarily focus on? What did the 9 questions primarily focus on?
One, it focused on your bylaws. What was my bylaws? Who and what area I was going to focus on in the community, because I actually put community, but they want more detail.
Be more specific,
and,
right?
Yes, and so I decided to go with youth and young adults. Mm-hmm. And then another part was that as the director, they said I had too much power. And so I had to create other positions within the organization so it wouldn't all be just for me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have no business background. I went to school for 1 year in college, and other than the rest, it was just what God provided me.
Okay. Let me just quote to you an article that I came across, and it goes something like this. In the midst of heated gun control debate on Capitol Hill, Florida Atlantic University's researchers say one startling statistic is going unnoticed. Homicide is the number one killer of young black men. Mortality from homicide among young black men is killing more young black men than all other causes put together. How does this statistic affect you, and how will Take Three approach a statistic like this?
Well, I was one of those statistics at one point in time, mm-hmm. with my gang background, and participating in and trying to create even a higher rate of that statistics. And then I opened my eyes up and realized that I need to love my brother instead of trying to kill my brother. And I looked back at what was behind my mindset of why I was trying to kill another brother. And it was due to hatred. It was also due to self-hatred and greed. And unstable person, period. And so now Take Three approaches that with love, genuine, real love. And based off of that, that gets us in the door to communicate with young brothers who carry guns, who wish to commit the crime of murdering another brother. And really, when you get to sit down and talk with brothers who think like that, you'll find out that it's a lack of education within the family, lack of education spiritually, lack of education of self-worth. And so we try to bring that to the table for them to see, you know, and a lot of times when you're involved in a gang, you know, they talk about love. Well, that brother's got my back. But then when he ends up in prison, he find out he's all alone. Mm-hmm. When he end up taking a life, he's not only taking one life, he's taking 2 lives. He's taking the life that the person he's killed, but then he's also taking his own life. So it's called suicide, mm-hmm. self-suicide. And if you decide to kill a brother, you're basically on a suicide mission. Mm-hmm. And
it's interesting because one of the programs we did not too long ago focused on the female in prison and the brother that's in prison, the young man that's in prison. But the thing is that it impacts more than just themselves. It impacts the black family. It impacts the black community, what little of it is left. So it impacts just more than just themselves. How do you approach that in terms of getting brothers to understand that when they shoot somebody or when they go to jail, that it impacts just more than just them?
Well, we really don't try to address that right off the bat because of the simple fact that a lot of times they don't care. They don't love themselves. And so when you don't love yourself, how can you even consider loving a family or caring about a family or even caring about a community? And a lot of times when we look into the male household, it starts with sometimes that generational curse or lack of parenting that went on in the home. You know, I just had a conversation with a young lady yesterday where she was part of a domestic violence. And the guy who committed the domestic violence on her is a preacher's son. And so she was talking about that. And then she has sons by him. And she said it was in his DNA that he got it from his father. He witnessed it from his father. And his father witnessed it from his father. And it's in his DNA. And I had to correct that. I said, one, first of all, there's power in words. There's no domestic violence in none of our DNAs. Okay, first of all. Second of all, you got to pray about a generational curse. You know, I did it for myself, and I have five boys. And none of my five boys have any kind of domestic violence in their history. Second of all is that when we approach that dysfunctional and households, it's got to be addressed. It really has to be addressed. And you got brothers going to prison, and they call it correctional facility. Now, they don't even call it prisons. They call it correctional facility. Simple fact that you go in there, hopefully you come out corrected. But the thing is they're coming out right back to the same old thing. They're coming back out to poverty. They're coming back out to lack of jobs. They're coming back out to a lack of homes. And what happens is, it's a spiral, downhill spiral. And when you get to that downhill spiral, once again, there's a self-worth. And when there's a self-worth, it becomes a survival of the fittest. And we're taught in the Bible and then also in the Quran that we're prosperous people. We're people that God loves and that we shouldn't have to live as we're surviving. We should be living and working hard to live a life that's been given to us. And a lot of times we just take advantage of that life itself.
So, and let me also pose this question, because I get this a lot, that we don't focus enough on the African-American youth who are doing well. We don't address that. What we focus on more is the youth who are gang-related, and youth violence, involved in youth violence, involved with selling drugs. But there's a sizable population that obviously is not finishing school and so forth, and not qualified and being set up almost to participate in gangs or drug selling and things of that nature. So how do you approach the folks that many organizations, for example, Urban League is they do a lot of great work, but they focus a lot more on the youngster that is going to college and things of that nature. So how do you address that when people say, well, you know, you're not focusing on the young black child or young black youth that is achieving?
Well, that's one of the great things about Take Three. We focus on both. We believe that focusing on a child that is achieving, you know, we love to praise them and recognize them and the great work they're doing. And not only that, we go a little farther. We look at the parents who have of their parents, because a lot of times they're struggling just to make sure that child is doing great. And so we try to come in and help the parents also too, to relieve a little bit of that pressure of with them and helping the child move forward. And out of that, we're able to take that child that is doing great and actually be able to influence some of the other children who are not doing so great, because they have an impact on one another. And, you know, when you can really combine the two and a child that is doing absolutely well really has more of a powerful effect on the next youth than an adult does. And we try to tap into that and use that to bring healing to families. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bring healing to that child who is not doing so great, who is looking the other direction, thinking that they cannot achieve. But we are putting an example of a child in front of them that can achieve. Because not every child that's achieving has a two-parent home. Mm-hmm. Some of them have been raised by grandma and grandpa, mm-hmm. and are doing well. And so we're trying to expose that and bring it out to the light. I mean, if you go downtown Portland right now, there's a great, for a high statistic of homeless rate for black men, mm-hmm. and black youth alone. And it's not even being spoken about. So, you know, at Take Three, we try to raise money and put aside to help the kids that are doing well, that are achieving in the sports or achieving academic-wise, and try to find other scholarships to go along with the scholarships that they have to help, you know, help them move forward and achieve whatever goals they have set forth.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to see happen, Michael? We're at this point where, if you even look at the black community, in my mind, really, in Portland, the black community doesn't exist anymore. I mean, if you look at the migration to East County, if you look at the Portland Development Commission in terms of the businesses that they've established in the black community on Mississippi Avenue, Alberta, and to some extent Martin Luther King Boulevard, how do you react to that?
Well, one of the things is that somebody has to step up and expose the issues that are at home, not just complain about it, but expose it and also come with solutions. Mm-hmm. And then get the city to back young brothers and sisters who have solutions that work, not just be talking about it, mm-hmm. but actually work. And that's one of the things that I've always been appreciative of myself, is that if I come to your table, I'm going to bring you proof that it works in whatever we're doing, and not just talk about it.
Give us an example.
The sister that I was working with just yesterday about the domestic violence. She had a decision to make. Should she allow her child to go to court and testify against the father under the domestic violence? And like I explained to her, you don't have to involve that child in the court system. And now, because once that child gets in the court system to testify, he's also going to be documented in a domestic violence situation, and then judged to say most likely he's going to be do domestic violence when he get older. So just based off that statistic alone, they're going to create a new jail based off of that little kid's statement, his action, and his words. And so I asked her not to involve the child, because there's enough evidence between the two adults that the court system should be able to handle the situation without that child. And not only that, you know, just be really prayerful and walk into her light and come out the darkness. And out of that, she was able to stand up and say, you know, I'm going to continue to look for a job. Not only look for a job, I'm going to reach out to my friends that are surrounded and not isolate herself. And out of that, she did just that. And that's proof that when you sit down with a person and you speak to them, they put those words in action. And out of action, that's when you get the results. And mm-hmm. so that's what we bring to the table, action and results. Those are most important, because there's a lot of sharp talkers out there. Mm-hmm. A lot of sharp talkers, and they're getting the government money, and the government right now in Portland is saying, we have given you enough. We are giving you enough. And so I'm saying to organizations of color to say, start looking elsewhere for the financial funds to help your organization. Stop looking at the mayor's office and saying, okay, well, you can help us. And basically what they're doing is throwing a little bit of money out there and then make you start acting like a shark, because now you smell blood in the water. And so then you attack one another just to get that money. And it's time that we got to stop attacking one another and really step up and work together one another honestly, you know, and not let greed and money get in the way of doing great work that we can do in this community.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned about the solution that we should focus, be more solution orientated, more solution focused. And you also mentioned about a plan. And a moment ago, I just asked you, what would you like to see? What would you like to see happen? How does your plan address? What type of a plan do you come to the table with? And how does that address the situation with our youth today?
Okay. Well, one of the plans that we have in place is that we have elders in the community who've had businesses, who've raised sons, who have been married, who have retired. And so we have listed them to be volunteers with Take Three organization. And then we take those elders and then we bring young adults in the age of from 45 on down to 18 and connect them. And then we start to build relationships out of that, because we need guidance. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. As an elder, I look up to you and like I said, and respect you. So I need to build a relationship with you to show others that this can be done. And then out of that, when I walk out of here and what you have given me or shown me, I put into work, I put into action, and then it comes to fruition. And out of that, we have something that we can use to help the community. So perfect example, when it comes to black homeless. Well, okay, well, we can't address the issue if we can't build a building or a house or a home to put them in. Mm-hmm. And so our plan is just to get a home, get into the real estate market, get a home, and then start being able to place these young men in there and then bring the resources around for them to use to help get them back on track.
Mm-hmm. Well, we certainly wish you and your organization the best, and we want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come down to Cable Studios to address this very, very serious condition in our community, and wish you much love and much success. The final question I just want to ask, because you mentioned it and I seen that come through when you were working on the Portland Community Media the other last number of times that you were on. What you speak about your own experiences, what turned you around? What turned you in this direction that you are going now?
Specifically was a spiritual. It was a spiritual turnaround. You know, when I picked up that word, the word comes by hearing, and I actually started hearing. And when I started hearing, I had to start trust. And that's one of the things that young brothers in the community have an issue with. It was trust. And that was one of my issues, was trust. I didn't trust male or female. And so now, trusting that word, I follow it. And out of that comes my obedience. Out of that came repentance. Out of that came a lot of things of opening my mind up. I had to open my mind up, and once I opened my mind up, I realized that I had something up in there, and I put it to use. And so now Take Three is looking for volunteers to come and join us, and you can reach Take Three Outreach at take3outreach.live, or you can go on Facebook. Take Three Outreach is on Facebook, and you can reach us that way. And we're just looking for volunteers to continue to do work in the community.
And we wish you well and much love. Mr. Michael Johnson, director of Take Three Outreach, trying to make a contribution to the community. I'm Shaheed Hamid for It Takes a Village, and thank you so much for tuning in to KBOO 90.7 FM. I'll see you next month, the first Friday. Yeah.
bring them all in, bring them all in, bring them all in, bring them all in, bring them all into my heart. Bring the little fishes, bring the sharks,